Kurt Cignetti, speaking of guys that can say whatever they want and not get fired, Kurt Cignetti, this is the guy that keeps on giving.
Look, and the fact that he's his age and talks like this, I love it. He's like one of the older coaches in college football.
I know, and he's a little young and spry. Yeah.
He's got
some Pete Carroll vibes.
He's got some Pete to him, man.
He took a fat shot at the SEC.
Boy, I'm sure glad you said shot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he did the other, too.
He drinks his morning coffee.
You know, sometimes, and a cigarette, two cigarettes and a morning coffee. You know, sometimes I get a little tired of, like, the halves yelling at each other about who wants more. You know, sometimes it gets a little annoying and get a little lame. But I'm kind of into this as they feel like two conferences that, like, try to pretend they're on the same side because they know what their future looks like. But then they're way easy to just trash on each other whenever they have the opportunity. And Cignetti fired a huge shot. And this, I honestly can't agree with him more. If the SEC just played 9 conference games, then I would say everyone can shut up and play it on the field. But this is what he said yesterday at Big Ten Media Day. He said, "We figured we would just adopt SEC scheduling philosophy, you know? Some people don't like it. I'm more focused on those 9 conference games. Not only do we want to play 9 conference games, okay, and have the revised playoff format with automatic qualifiers, we want to have to play in games to decide who's in those playoffs." And he goes on to continue to talk about these guys play garbage teams, and that's what I'll just do, and that way I'll run into the playoff at 11-1 because I lost to Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. He's not wrong.
No.
He's not. I mean, I hate that. That's just going to hurt us.
Well, anyway, we've all talked about this. The SEC is the best conference in the country at protecting their conference. Their non-conference games are—they're a sham. They're a sham. That's what they are. There's no getting around it. And the way they schedule them is like, oh yeah, you know, Alabama, Tennessee are going to play each other, sure. But before that, Tennessee's going to play Tennessee Chattanooga, and Alabama's going to play Citadel.
Yep.
So that they
and pay Citadel $2 million to make sure they've got an extra win.
Yeah, and not only get an extra win by halftime. Their starters are out.
We need to standardize the schedule across the board if we want to have objective criteria for who should be in the playoffs and who shouldn't, Cignetti said. And we need to take the decision-making off the committee to some degree. He's right. It should be an equal playing field across the board. And then, like we talked about yesterday, and we'll continue to talk about this week, then it becomes a fair playing field. Look, it's never going to be fair. Because would you rather play Vanderbilt or Minnesota? Most years, I'd probably rather play Vanderbilt than Minnesota.
Yeah.
But if we get closer and closer to the same criteria, then I think we're going to get a more accurate representation of what should go on in the playoffs.
And that's where you get to the Super League.
See, now, here's my issue with the SEC's defense of their scheduling thing and only scheduling 8 conference games. It's like, well, we always go out and we have, like, one of the non-conference games against a Power 4 opponent. So that's why we only keep with the 8. Well, okay, great.
Well, Ohio State, Texas is right there.
Well, right, but just hang on a sec. So they go and schedule that Power 4 conference. Guess
Michigan,
what?
Oklahoma.
That other Power 4 conference is also scheduling one of their 3 non-conference games against an SEC school and still playing 9 conference games. This is not the same.
Yeah.
They need to suck it up and play a 9-game conference schedule and quit being like, oh, it just means more here and our conference is so much better. No, the bottom half of your conference is still garbage
it's
like every other Power 4 conference.
And what's going to happen if you do go to a super conference? Are you going to have 3 preseason games against nobodies before you play a 9-game super conference schedule? You can't. No. You have too many teams in there. Your warm-up games are Ohio State versus Vanderbilt. That's your warm-up game.
That
is a conference game.
Well, that thing is
because
like,
there's no conferences anymore. You are the conference.
When you have the one,
the
that
Eagles don't schedule Citadel in Week 3 of the NFL.
I the thing that I'm wondering is if you do that 40 teams.
Although I would watch that.
Yeah. Oh God. if you go to that the 40 team super conference is always the kind of thing that I go to.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that I see it going is that you have 9 games, but you have tiers in the conference.
Oh, like relegation?
Well, no,
are you talking relegation?
Well, I would go relegation.
I'm full
like,
relegation.
I would like bottom 4.
Super conference be relegation?
So 10%, bottom 4, but it's every 2 years.
Ooh.
So you,
a little
you have,
more recruiting cycle.
You have a little more of a window, and you have to, look, if you fall out, you fall out. But number one, financially, you get the payouts, you know, much like Premier League, but mm-hmm. it's also, you get a 2-year window payout. So if you do fall back, you're out for 2 years. It takes you a little while to get back in. You're not DOA. Beyond that, let's say you tier this thing out based on past production, media polls, expectations, all those kind of things, right? And you have to play so many games at tier one, so many games at tier two, so many games at tier three, so many games at tier four. But you also would get, so let's say everybody plays 12 games.
Okay.
So
I think it's fair.
10 games you play in the Super Conference. Two can be outside of the quote unquote Super League.
So UW could play Washington State.
There you go. So you can get some protected rivalries. You can still have those things that are there. If those rivalries do move in there, then you can
then,
now
then
go.
Then you have them now, and you can schedule something.
You
else.
You can go play Eastern Washington.
UW could play Oregon State,
or whatever it ended up being. Like that. Let's say Oregon State, Washington State. They're the tier four in the Super League. They're there. Mm-hmm. If you're, you know, take Oregon. Oregon can go play San Diego State. Let's say San Diego State's like, you know what, we're good in the Mountain West. We're not going to go try to spend the money to really be there. So one of your games is there. Or your Tennessee Chattanoogas. Because for them, it's worth it to get the payday. And if you're Oregon, it's worth it for you to have somebody in your schedule. You're like, okay, we get a little bit of a reprieve here. I'm okay with two reprieve games if all of the other ones matter.
I also want the timing to be similar. Like, if you're going to play Citadel,
open up,
that's in your first 3 weeks.
Yeah,
you can't have an extra bye.
Put it as two windows.
In week 10.
Put it as two windows. Games weeks 1 through 3 and weeks 6 through 9. Those are your two windows.
Yeah, I just don't like, it's like, we got to play Auburn in 2 weeks, and Auburn's got Cam Newton, so let's play Citadel the week before as a tune-up game.
I'm actually okay with that.
If everybody does it.
Exactly. That's my point.
That would also be a really bad week of college football.
That's the pushback, and you'd have to stagger it. So
it's almost like week 18 in the NFL.
Week 18 has the potential to also be special.
True.
It's more often than not. It's not. But it does have some appointment viewing. You don't do it to where everybody's doing it in the same week. That's why I said you have to do it in windows, like weeks 1 through 3. So you kind of stagger where that's going to be in there. But also, let's say in those windows, you also have to play a team in the top two tiers. So in weeks 1 through 3, yeah, you get your cupcake, but also you have to play a team 1 through 3.
You're making a lot of sense over there, Danny.
Yeah, well.
I don't like it.
I've thought this through a little bit.
I don't like it.
It's one of few things I've ever thought through.
I don't like it. Setting a dangerous precedent here.
I just don't know why we're not getting towards that.
And I don't know why I kind of do know why, but I was going to say, I don't know why this hasn't been resolved or why
it's
this
protectionism.
Is
That's
such
what it
a
is.
Boo-boo topic.
No, it's protectionism. It's all it is.
Man, it's like...
You're putting a wall up to protect your guys, and it's not...
It's like
college football is not the only place that this happens.
It's like if a heavyweight fought featherweight all the time and was like, I'm the best in the world. It's like... You'd get called out instantly.
You mean Floyd Mayweather?
You'd get called out instantly.
I mean, boxing is probably the place where protectionism happens the most now. Yeah. Nobody fights anybody.
And look at what happened to boxing.
Cratered.
Absolutely cratered. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm going to bang on this drum for a while.
That's why I like the UFC fight with Holloway and God, I'm totally blanking on his name.
I ain't helping.
Dustin Poirier. Poirier and Holloway, they had... And the best thing about those two is because they're lifers... Final 10 seconds, they point to the middle, and they just throw it down.
Yeah.
Like they're
get
they're,
at it.
They're like, hey, let's give everybody what they the money they spent, let's give them a show.
It is one of the few places where, like, talk ass, get hit.
Yeah.
You know? And we're going to make it happen.
But there's something...
You can't avoid big guys.
And there's something
UFC.
To be said for not ducking the smoke. And if you standardize not being able to duck the smoke, I think that's the best possible fix. I don't think there's a perfect fix. I think it's the best available fix.
God, and it would benefit college football so much. Mm-hmm. But you got to take a risk. Nobody wants to take that risk.
No, because, again, the protectionism.
Oh, dude, but we'd love you so much for it.